It's really where we talk about things that we're just trying to make everything out.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Kemma Ray, and I'm back with Niecy. Ooh. And we're back for another episode. Let me get my words together. Of hashtag JTFIO, or just trying to figure it out. And we are here to talk about independence as another episode of this adulting series. Okay. All right, so I grew up under a single mom who was teaching independence. She was not teaching dependence, okay? It was just fully independent. We don't need nobody. We making it happen. You're going to do this. What happened was, as I got into my young adult years, I started realizing I can't handle all this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's too much. Like, you taught me to be independent. I don't know how you did it with three kids. The cold reality is I cannot do it.
With a dog.
The another reality is that's okay. It's okay that you cannot do it. Yep. You're not supposed to. We are not supposed to be built. Like, my mom having three kids as a young adult, that's not ideal. Mm-hmm. Okay? So I feel like we were raised, as Black people, we're raised under all this strength. Okay, these Black mothers and Black parents and single Black moms who are, you know, taking all this on and fighting all the odds. And now it's like, we in our 20s, we don't have kids, we're in college. Like, y'all don't really have experience in the whole, like, you did everything right, now what? So, independence, I feel like, means something else other than just, like, financial freedom. And just, like, being able to pay for everything. What does independence mean to you?
So, aside from that, I would say it's kind of making social decisions.
Mm-hmm.
It plays a big part in who you surround yourself with. Mm-hmm. I choose to surround myself with people who are, I want to say, in similar situations as me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when I came to Texas Southern, it got a lot better because everybody in class was trying to do something with themselves.
Yeah.
Opposed to just going to class.
Right.
So, I gained a lot of friends through that. Train of thought. Outdoor.
I think you be thinking about this camera, girl. This camera is not here.
I don't even be thinking about that. It's just, I be talking, and then I forget where I'm going.
And it'd probably be good, too.
You ever walk into a room and forgot why you walked there?
All the time, but you know, I'm old. You're 23. So, that happens to be a lot, but I just be like, you know, you're 30. You in the Dirty 30 Club. But, you know, we'll get there. We'll bring it back. We'll get the topic back. I just think we're talking about independence. Mm-hmm. We're talking about, you know, choosing who you want to be around. That's very important because in high school, you know, most people, they grow up with the same people from elementary to middle to high school. That didn't mm-hmm. happen with me because I was military. But pretty much the same people that you're around. And then if you stay in that town, then you stay around that mentality.
You get comfortable.
Yeah. So then when you go to college or you move to a whole city, new city that we'll talk about in a different episode, you start to choose your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the fact that you moved here to Houston and you center yourself around like-minded people, people who are going somewhere, I think it's important, but I don't want to brush past the fact that you were conscious of that and decided, like, I'm choosing who I want to be around me.
That's a trait that I've always had.
Mm.
It's just in some situations when we were younger, you know, if we had, like, a childhood friend, our moms would become friends.
Mm-hmm.
And even those times, like, if I no longer, because I pick up on a lot of things, and it's one thing that, like, I feel like I don't know if I want to be friends with you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The only connection I have is that our moms are still friends.
Yeah.
So there would be sometimes where I even tell my mom, like, look,
I'm not cool with this girl.
I don't want to be her friend no more. Mm-hmm. You can still do what you want to do, but I don't want to be her friend no more.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that I feel like I really always had. But when I got to undergrad, it was situations where I had to be around certain people all the time, because this is where we are, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you just kind of put up with that and tolerate it. And like you said, once I got here, just based on the resources that TSU has and things like that, like, I know a lot of people have their own opinions about the grad program. Mm. But if y'all mm-hmm. understand, mm-hmm. I'm not one of those people. If y'all mm-hmm. understand, like, where I came from.
You keep saying that.
Because y'all don't understand.
You keep saying that. I mean, I feel it. You don't have to share on the podcast, but mm-hmm. I feel like when you come from somewhere that was just, like, melee and just chaos, I get the appreciation for the program, mm-hmm. but me coming from the military, I ain't impressed, okay? But, no, I feel you on that, but I also feel like in the same breath, you know, you always being conscious of that, there's people in the program that you could have chose to hang out with where it could have went a different way, mm-hmm. you know? So I feel like there's so much power in being like, I see what y'all on. I'm not doing that.
Yep.
At 23, a lot of people don't have that, and I think people need to understand, if you don't have it, somebody 23 right here telling you, somebody 30 right here telling you, you gotta get this under your belt sooner rather than later, because yeah. your life is gonna go through so much turmoil based on who you center yourself around, mm-hmm. just your mindset, period. There's people who, you know, if you come from just chaos and just mess, then you start to spew that as yourself, yep. and then that gets onto other people, and yep. then y'all become a whole little clique that's just so consumed.
Nobody
by
wants to work with nobody.
Nobody wants that, yeah. to work, and then you get older faster, just in your yep. mind, your face, you get wrinkles.
Even, like, until y'all brought it to my attention, mm-hmm. a lot of my friends are 27 and up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, like, even, like, when dating, I don't date nobody my age or younger because mm-hmm. you don't know what you're doing. But I feel like, in a sense, if I hang out with older people who have already been through some of the things, not even that they had to go through anything, that I've potentially will go through or have gone through, it's just the fact that if I'm getting this knowledge from y'all and y'all are 30 now and I'm 23, that's nothing but more wisdom for me.
Mm-hmm. But how do you avoid the whole, when I was, I hate this saying, but when I was your age, I hated when people would try to be like, well, you know, when I was your age, I would have did it this way. And then it was like, I would not listen to that and go on my own path, because it's just like, but I'm not you.
I don't think people, because times have changed, I don't think nobody's ever, like, push their opinion on what I should do. It's more of, I guess it's my approach of talking about whatever I want to talk about, because mm-hmm. I could tell you something and you'll probably tell me what you've done in that experience, but I'll also go tell it to two of my other close friends,
mm-hmm.
and then I could possibly combine
yes.
all of y'all's
yeah.
situations together
uh-huh.
and come out with a new little outcome.
Did you find it difficult to, like, be able to find your voice in it all? Because with the way that I grew up, growing up under, you know, a really vocal mother and grandmother, like, a lot of the ways that I felt about things was literally their words coming out of my mouth. So when mm-hmm. I moved out on my own, it was hard for me to figure out, like, what do I like? So how do I saying, feel about this?
You saying, like, from my family?
Just period. Just when you speak up about stuff, have you differentiated between, I feel this way, my mom taught me this, but now, like, this is how I mm-hmm. feel.
Mm-hmm. So growing up, like, I don't, my mama or my daddy, because I was a two-parent household,
mm-hmm.
Nobody forced me to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's a really good thing to have, because I was able to explore and do things on my own and find out what I liked and what I didn't like, mm-hmm. even though I didn't understand, like, what that was at the time. Now I really just choose happiness
yeah.
over everything, literally. If it don't make me happy, you can't be here.
Right.
That's what friends.
That's funny. You said that about work.
I was
remember when
related.
I was like,
I'm
so stressed. You were just like, quit. I was just like,
if it don't make you happy, it gotta go, because
life is short.
And I feel like if you continue to do something that doesn't make you happy, you forcing yourself to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And when I learned all of this from working 3 weeks in debt collection.
Bruh, but that'll do it. You that, said the woman was like, my daughter just got shot.
That was hell on earth. I felt like, I don't know what I felt like. It was times where, first of all, I had to wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning.
And you was not.
You just called me and I woke up at 12. So I wasn't feeling the waking up in the morning. They told us we had to wear business clothes, but then when I get there, people in gym shorts, and I'm just like, this is unorganized, unprofessional. You got managers yelling at you, talking some kind of way, and you got, like, you handling people, federal business and stuff like that. I don't like all that kind of stuff. And it got to the point where, like, on week three, day two out of four, I woke up and I was like, damn, I just started crying because I was like, I don't want to do this no more.
Yeah.
And then I talked to one of my friends and she was like, I can tell that you unhappy.
But did you, this is important too, so pay attention, turn it up. Did you just be like, I don't like this, I quit?
I thought about it. Well, I was still looking for jobs in the meantime. And,
can you say that part again?
I was still looking for jobs in the meantime. I still worked at JCPenney as well.
And so,
this was my first, what drew me into this was my first full-time job, and it had benefits
and you so, felt like, I'm business casual, I'm waking up in the morning, like an adult.
Yeah.
Like an adult.
I felt like having a full-time job with benefits was something that people who live by themselves should have. So yeah. Because
that's what we've been coded to think.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And, I started, like, after a while, I started to hate it. And so I started to show up, like, with sweatpants and a regular t-shirt on.
Yeah.
Because that's what other people were wearing. You can't expect me to care about this place if the people around me don't care.
Right, right.
And so the people there, I kept telling them, I was like, I'm not really feeling this. This is not for me. And this is just, like, coworker talk. And all of them, instead of asking me, like, what made me want to leave, they all just kept saying, just stick it out. It's quick money. You can make this. They got other people here in school. They just here to get the money. You ain't got to worry about bonus and you ain't got to worry about none of this. And I'm just like, so what if I'm just not happy?
Niecy, that's the way we've been framed and like molded to believe like life is about. Like you're supposed to go to college. You're supposed to graduate. You're supposed to get this job, just a little small chunk of something, get married. You're just supposed to work the rest of your life. Like, nobody said nothing about happiness. You're just supposed to go.
Yeah.
And I think the thing about your generation and mine is just, like, we not doing that. Like, we not doing, if it don't make us happy, if it's not fulfilling, and that's literally what they was telling me in the military. Why are you getting out? You're getting literally everything. Anything you need, you're being paid it. And all you gotta do is come here. All you gotta do is play the game.
Right.
And I just was like, yeah, but don't y'all want something more? Don't you want to, like, smile and, like, do things that are fulfilling? And don't get me wrong, like, serving my country. And, you know, I met my husband. I made some lifelong friends. But at the same time, it's just like,
after a while, it's like,
When it comes down to the bottom line, when I wake up in the morning, am I running happy to go to work or am I dragging myself? You know, and even like with teaching, I feel that way as well. Like, I just be so happy and excited to get to work and see what these kids gonna try to do today.
Right.
So I really wanted you to talk about that because, you know, you were upset about this job, but instead of just being like, I quit, and just, like, bumming it out on somebody's couch, it was like you had to make it. Like, you had all these, when I tell y'all, Niecy had these jobs. She had all these jobs and in school full time. And it's like, but that's adulting. Yeah. Like, you make this decision that you don't like this job, even if you just got one job, you don't like this job, you got to figure out how you're going to get the next job. So you got to apply like crazy. Update your resume. You got to get out there. You got to make these phone calls, follow-up calls. Make that interview work because nobody's gonna hand it to you.
Nope.
So I could just remember I worked at McDonald's and I was waking up 5 a.m working 6 a.m to 4 p.m I loved the job though. I think I was like 19 and I loved the job because it was like I'm working so hard and I feel fulfilled in what I'm doing, but that check, I was just like, this is all. And I was working with grown people, with kids. And I'm like, this is what America's given us for working hard.
And that's not even for dealing with the people who come through the drive-thru, who talk to you crazy.
No, and I think people forget about that with customer service. Like, we're working all these jobs. I did McDonald's, I did Starbucks. I was a children's photographer in the mall. Girl, these bad kids, I'm trying to sit them there and do, like, smile, do all this stuff. And you just trying to make a way. You're just trying to make ends meet. And for me, what was really important for me was, like, my parents are paying for everything. They keep paying for stuff. And I'm supposed to be grown. Like, you're supposed to be 18 and out in the world.
Yep.
So I want to pay for stuff and not have you pay for everything. But I just can't.
That's how it is. That's how it is with my grandpa. My grandpa.
Mine too.
I'm like literally using his words. I'm Papa baby.
Yeah.
And my other cousins don't understand that I'm his favorite, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. Eventually they'll catch on.
Girl.
But one time I got to the point where like you said, I'm trying to be an adult. I have to find a way to get gas money if I don't have this money.
Yeah.
And somehow.
And Plato's closet don't be taking all the clothes. I used to go to Plato's, try to get me some gas money. What you mean $6 for this shirt? I paid $15.
Girl. Somehow he found out. I think I texted my daddy or something and told him like I was trying to find a way to get some gas money. And my grandpa called me and he was like, why you didn't tell me you didn't have no gas money?
Wow.
Like, he was basically yelling at me for not asking him for money. And I was like, I wanted to try to get it by myself. And he was like, you still Papa baby? And I'm like, don't tell me that.
Yeah.
Because
that's how my papa is. If I even just mention like even my laptop, I was like, it's gonna cost $500. She said, how much? I said, well, never mind.
Don't worry about it. That's exactly how he is.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you could just milk that.
Mm-hmm.
Something stops you from milking that though.
And it's I believe, I don't know, it's just a number of people who you watch. In certain situations, though, there is a lot of people who, like, trying to make ends meet. There are people who made it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, my grandpa got married a bunch of times. And he got, I'm not going to say he got a bunch of kids.
Mm-hmm.
But he even married women who had kids already. And I was like, my grandpa found a way to do it.
Yeah.
And then, growing up, I've had, like, some of my friends' parents. I don't know if you know the real BB Judy.
Mm-hmm.
That's my friend mama.
Oh, okay.
And I knew her before she got famous, and I was just like, she's single, she got three kids, she did it.
But you know, it's something about when you have kids, and this is kind of backwards, it's a backwards way of thinking, but when you have kids, it's like you have a fire, like you have a motivation, but when it's just you, like, and you sit alone with your thoughts, and you sit alone with your dreams and ambitions and goals, and you're like... Like, if I had a kid over in the corner that I had to feed, I'd be making YouTube videos like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know, like, I'm going to make this happen. But that love that you have to develop, like, that self-love that you have to develop for yourself, self-love, it's just, sometimes it'd be kind of hard to just be like, I'm going to make this happen for me because I deserve and I want to do, so I'm going to get up and I'm going to do this, that. So, period, just people who are... people who have kids, I feel like they have like more of a motivator. But when it's just you by yourself, we are not a self-centered people.
Mm-hmm.
We're not really taught to be like, you got to make it happen for you. And that's the rhetoric now. But when we was growing up, I don't feel like people was like, you need to get out there and build yourself an empire.
Yeah.
Like, no. Like, we saying that now.
It didn't really come with an instruction.
No.
I don't know. I never really knew what I wanted to do. I still don't really know what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But everything is flowing to media.
Yeah. And stuff don't be spelled out, though. Like, for me, I was talking about it on my behind-the-scenes thing. Like, I knew I didn't want just a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. I know that. I know that it needs to be involved with kids and media and singing and making people feel good. But content creator was not a thing until very recently. It's barely respected.
Mm-hmm.
It has such a large spectrum of things. But I think what's important, just for you at your age and me at my age, is just the whole accountability aspect and being independent that helps you develop what you want to do. Being disciplined enough to be like, I know it ain't this. So I'm going to do this until I can get where I want to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's most important because around that 19 to 25 range, it's so many different things that can happen that could cause your dream to be deferred.
You can
Coronavirus. You can end up with kids. You can end up with a raggedy baby daddy. You can end up making just crazy life decisions. Like, it's just stuff like that where stuff goes left.
Yep.
that you could have prevented if you just had a little bit more know-how. Just a little bit, like, just somebody tell me what we supposed to be doing right now. Like, okay, you said don't have no kids. You said wrap it up. You said don't be out.
I did that.
Right, I did that. Yeah. So now, what else?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's, you just gotta go through the motion. I don't know. I feel like choosing to be happy over everything is, became a lot easier.
But what if my happy is popping bottles every day?
You gotta find a way to afford to pop them bottles.
I think you're just an exception, man. I was not this mature at 23. I just was not. I had ran across, at 24, I ran across my mom's white carpet, which don't ask me why she had white carpet, but I ran across her carpet with jars of hair dye, but I ran, and it was all over the purple, blue, on the white carpet, 24.
What she did?
She just kind of looked at me and was just like, you're too old for this. Like, I mean, and I couldn't pay for no new carpet, so they had to pay for it, and I had to hear about it over and over. I also had a temper at that time. I used to bottle stuff up at that time. I used to just walk out.
I feel like some situations, it's like, yeah, you could have walked instead of ran, but then it's like, what if this would have happened while I was walking? How am I too old to make a mistake?
Well, to be honest, I shouldn't even took it out the bathroom. Like, if it was 30-year-old me, but probably because I already been through this, but if it was me now, I'm just a person now that just thinks of possibilities beforehand.
Yep.
I lay stuff out. But at that time, I was, like, impulsive, and I'm like, I want to do this. I'm going to go out and do it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still kind of like that. But
More responsible with it.
Whereas then, if I would have had, and I'm the oldest, so I do be feeling like if I would have had an older sister, be like, okay, keep the dye in here. Don't do, like, for me, it was such a such a wide, I don't know the word, but my mom, like, literally the thing that I looked up to was my mom. The person I looked up to was my mom. But my mom was not a makeup wearer. Wasn't really a weave wearer like that. So I had so many firsts that I had to get from, like, society.
Yeah,
same thing. And TV and music, right?
Same thing. And it's kind of weird because now my mama started starting to wear...
Because you.
Hair, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, we went to... My mama graduated from the same high school I graduated from.
Mm-hmm.
You wasn't allowed to wear no inch of makeup. You couldn't have on lashes, eyebrows, eyeliner, none of that. You couldn't even wear lip gloss. Chapstick, it was too shiny.
So that's the thing. It's like, when you don't have nobody to, like, cycle all this trial and error through, like, you got to be out here looking crazy with skin mark eyebrows and track showing and track hanging and braids falling out. I'm not talking about myself. I'm just saying in general. You got to be willing to, you know, go through these things. And I feel like these are the things that build character. These are the things that build independence to where you feel like, okay, I've been through this a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
I know my account is overdrawn. I know I can call Papa and he gonna get me out of this. But I know from now on, I could have prevented this.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, and I don't know if this still happens, but back when I was... when I was your age, but I used to go get gas at the pump, and on my account, it would say $1. And then, so I would have in my account like $30. So my account would say $1 from the gas station. I'd be like, oh, but I wouldn't check like the statement. I would just see my balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, oh, I got $30. So then I go spend some more, whatever, whatever. And then my account will be overdrawn because now the amount has processed.
After it's been picked, girl.
And so now I got...
That's that bamboozlement right there.
Not only am I overdrawn the $30 that I spent on something else, now I got a $30 fee. So, Papa, can you help me out?
Are you with Capital One?
No.
Oh,
that used to be Wachovia. Now it's Wells Fargo, but it used to be Wachovia.
When I first had... Because I have... never had a credit card, but when I first got a debit card, and it would say $30 for the gas, and I'm like, oh, it didn't take it out, so maybe it forgot.
Maybe it's free.
3 days later, you've been charged an $8.95 minimal charge balance
because
you ain't got no money in the account, plus a $35 overdraft fee.
Bruh.
I'm sitting here like, how does this work?
How does this work? Yeah, that used to happen to me a lot. I would get, I'd be like, ooh, I got $30 in my account. I'm about to spend $29.99. I forget about the minimum. And it's like that kind of stuff, you don't, ain't nobody really telling you. Like, they telling you, but you're not really taking heed like that, you know?
See, when we first got a debit card, when I say we, because my daddy wanted me to go sign it up, he was like, you had the option to put the overdraft on there, or to have it just, once it's zero, you ain't got no more dough. And so, he said that the $35 overdraft was just in case, I'm sure, because at this time I went to Valley. Valley is in the middle of nowhere, literally, just the gas station across the street. And he was like, in case you ever need gas, you can use that money to go ahead, get the gas in there, then we'll just put it back in there later. While that was a good idea, every time I went broke, I just hit the overdraft, and I was just like, my account at overdraft again. And then I had to go and tell my mom. I was like, this is really not my fault, because I didn't ask for the overdraft. I didn't ask for that.
Bruh, there's so many things that, like, as a young adult, you're just like, wait, what? I don't get a do-over? Like, why y'all didn't tell me? Oh, you were for real about the over- oh, you weren't kidding.
Oh, so this was actually,
when I got that overdraft fee for every transaction, it was just like, oh, you gonna charge a fee every time I spend every time. This is a long time ago,
but that's so true.
I remember when Blockbuster had sent me a Blockbuster had sent me a it was like a collections thing, and it was like, you still got our DVD from such and such date, and it's gonna go to, that's what I'm saying, I'm like, y'all went out of business, how am I supposed to pay for it? But I remember I had to call the collections, I had to write, my nanny's an accountant, and she was like, no, you're gonna write a letter to all these credit unions and credit places to let them know, take this off. I was just like, dang, it's all of this.
I didn't know about how important credit scores and stuff was until...
Ooh, that's a whole nother...
I don't know. I just got really curious. I hear all these people talking about credit scores, mainly the real BB Judy. I just call her Miss Jessica.
Okay.
That's what I call her. But she started teaching like her friends about credit scores and stuff like that. So I was like, maybe I do need like a good credit score. So I was like, what is it? And da-da-da-da-da-da. Come and find out, just seeing how trustworthy you are with money.
Yeah.
And I personally feel like the fact that I haven't borrowed anyone's money should definitely say a lot about how trustworthy I am.
But it don't. It don't. They be like, okay, so in order to give you credit, we need to trust that. We need to see that you had credit before and you gave it back. So it's like, okay, for you to give me some money, you got to see that I had it before. But what I'm trying to get you to see is I don't have no money. So I just need the money the one time and I'll show you.
Right.
I remember my first credit card, which I still have, which is skyrocketing. And the balance is going up. It's like every time you pay it down, they're like, oh, let's make your balance higher. Since we can trust you with this small amount, let's make it higher. Well, now that you made it higher, that's going to put me in more of a pickle, because I'm going to spend more and it's going to be harder to pay back, which is what they count on.
Yeah.
But I remember when I first got it, because of my age and because of my job, they're just like, oh, here you go. I went to get furniture. Yeah, she can have it. Yep, here you go. And it was just like, this is too much power. This is too much power.
Whoa. I remember I was trying to get a credit card heavy because I really wanted an iMac so I could start editing and all that stuff all in one spot and not have to worry about storage because my laptop is giving out. But I was looking for it, girl. I applied for maybe two or three credit cards. 48 points. Knocked me down 48 points off Credit Karma, who recommended me to apply for the card.
That's a whole lot of points.
And I was just like, I didn't have good credit to begin with.
Why but did you, so when you got it, after you charged the first thing and paid it, did it go back up?
I never got the credit card. I was never approved for it.
Oh my gosh. Just applying.
Yeah, just applying. Just saying, hey, I'm a little curious about this.
Woo! That happened to me with, there's an Amazon credit card, and I was like, I'll just click. I clicked three times, it knocked me down 6 points. I'm just like, I was just clicking to see. I didn't really want.
I didn't even confirm it. I tried with the new Apple card that came out. Mm. I was like, they got to look at my history and see that I've had almost every Apple product that then came out. Mm. They didn't care.
They didn't care. They want to know, have you had a credit card?
Did not.
Okay. And these are things that you had to figure out on your own.
Yep. I was like, okay.
Well.
So, the good thing about Capital One is that Capital One and Credit Karma, it tells me how many points I will go up if I pay something off, mm-hmm. if I pay it in full, if I partially pay it, or if I try to dispute it. Mm-hmm. And so just paying the balance off on something is like, if I have like a $95 medical thing, paying that $95 off will knock me up 25 points. Do you know how close I was to spending $100 just to do that?
Bruh. In the grand scheme of things, credit, it matters, don't get me wrong. Credit matters, but it don't really matter until you're trying to make a move. Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, becoming too obsessed with your credit score too young, like, it can be exhausting. Because it's just like, every time I turn around, my credit score dropping. It's going up. It's dropping. It's just like, bruh, like, I didn't even, all I did was breathe. Like, dang.
I feel like that's absolutely right. Until you're trying to make a move, but I don't want to have to wait
until I make the move. Yeah,
I'd rather just kind of, I can pay off $2 or $3, mm-hmm. $3 balance, I can pay that off already.
No, that's good. I just think obsessing, and I'm not saying you, I just know I'd be obsessing, like watching it, looking at it in the middle of the night, and I'm like, because you know we're trying to get a house, mm-hmm. so at this point it matters too. Yeah, so it's like, you know, when you're trying to get a house, like, you really trying to watch it. You don't want anything to affect it. But I think if you just in college and you, like, in the dorms, like, don't be checking y'all credit score like that. Like, crazy. Because you still trying to establish, you know.
A smart thing to do that I know no one's probably going to do it, because I even said it while I was an undergrad and still didn't do it. Using your refund and put it towards some of them student loans. Mm. That'll boost your stuff up right there.
I did that when I first got out of the military. I mean, when I first got in the military, I paid a chunk. I used a chunk of my paycheck toward my student loans. You can't tell now because I didn't add a couple more loans. But it did make my credit score go up because I had did that. But yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Pre-planning instead of, you know, going to get the new J's and some new lashes and a new lace front, you know, putting a little bit, just a little bit, just a little.
I think my strategy as far as paying back student loans is, first of all, finish out this last semester, because I don't have time to watch it drop from adding another loan for the next semester.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to go ahead and pay the smaller ones off first. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, like, when I was reading about it, not reading, because who does that? Mm-hmm. When I was YouTubing about it.
Yeah, watching a video. Videos,
I was watching the videos, and this one girl, she was like, pay off the bigger ones first, because either it's the hardest to pay off or something like that, or the interest rate will go up even more on that one. But I feel like the quicker I pay off the smaller one,
then you can focus on the bigger one later. Yeah.
I feel like that's a lot easier to do than the other way around.
So. I mean, I feel like there's different strategies, but I feel like that's where I will go with it. I'm going to do these little ones here, 100 here, 200 there, 500 there, and then we can focus on this big guy.
It's easier to get $1,000 than it is to get $5,000.
Yeah, that's so true. $1,000 four times. Right. Yeah. Bruh. All right, so we talked about a whole lot of different things. We talked about being independent and trying to get it on your own, and even some financial advice up in there, honey, because it'd be hard out here. It'd be hard out here. So we're going to wrap this thing on up. We're going to hit y'all with another episode. If you're tuning in on the YouTube, you'll notice that this one got cut short. Yeah, the battery died. It's all good. Y'all need to tune in on the app. Apple Podcast app, Podbean app.
Yeah.
What other apps? Spotify. Google Play. You guys can hit us up and find us on there as well. And you're obviously listening on those if you just heard me say this, because the video got cut short. So don't know why I said that. But I'm Cameron. You have been
courageous.
Y'all, I really
you should be too.
And y'all need to follow her on Instagram and Twitter.
So
Twitter?
It's correct. Yeah, I'm on Twitter. I'm a little reckless on Twitter, so
help the Lord.
Follow me at Courageous. It's spelled Courageous. Mm-hmm. They probably like, you spell it out incorrectly.
So with the underscore?
Add an underscore underneath there. Thank you.
Yes.
They was gonna go back to my high school page, girl.
Ooh, you need to delete it.
I got, so let me tell you a little quick story. Religion class, homeroom.
Religion class.
I went to a Catholic school. I'm Catholic. For some reason, I think I was trying to gain followers or something on one of them little stupid apps. The lesson learned, never do it again. They locked me out of my Instagram account after I had just got to 1,000 followers. Oh. I'm in high school and just got to 1,000. You know, like,
You was mad.
Yes. Yeah. I could have nearly cried. I had to start over from scratch, so that's why I added the underscore. Don't go look at my old page.
Bruh, now everybody gonna go. Everybody go look. Go look. All right, y'all. We'll see y'all next time.
Peace out.
Bye.